Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
I see a church where the vision and the mission are clear, consistent, contagious, and progressive. I see a church that is Bible-based, Christ-centered, kingdom-minded, making disciples, and Holy Spirit empowered. A church that loves God by loving people and serves God by serving people. I see a church that is generously living and giving and is built on the sacrifices of many and not just a few. A church that counts the cost, pays the price, and preaches its best messages through what we do and not just by what we say. I see a church that becomes a growing spiritual family, a church where transformation not only comes to their generation, but positively alters the course of the generations to come.
And so there must be a change in your life. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The child of God, a change has taken place. Oh, give your life to Jesus Christ and let him live in you and be a shining witness for Christ. Become salt in your community. Become a light in your community. Let the people know where you stand for Christ. The Bible teaches that the church is like a vine with its many branches. It's like living stones built together, members of the body of Christ all knit together.
Come on, let's give the name that is above every other name a great big hand, the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's give him a bigger hand than that. We thank God for Jesus. Amen. Well, hello, family. I want to say thank you for making a good decision today in coming along to the house of God to hear the word of God. I also want to welcome and thank all of those who are tuning into this podcast and people from the Philippines, people from India, Nairobi, Africa, Okara City, Pakistan, New York, and other parts of America, which is very, very cool. We want to say thank you for joining us also. Let's give them a big hand. Yeah. Hey, remember, who can whistle here? Who can whistle? Do those, like, those things. I don't even know what you call them. What are they called? Wolf? Is it wolf whistle? Like wolf, W-O-L-F? Is that what it is? Wasn't sure if it was that or W-O-O-F. Is it wolf or wolf? I got no idea. I'm not even sure if it's all appropriate. That's why I'm sort of hesitant in saying it. Is a wolf whistle appropriate? Is it? No, I got no's and yes's. So anyway, who can do these? Ada, I know that you can. So feel free to let it go. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, praise God. And I just want to say welcome to part 10 in the My Heart, My House series. I just want to remind us what it's primarily all about, because we're in our third month now. And the feedback that we've been getting from the congregation and from my elders has been really quite astronomical. You know, the first month we really felt the whisper and the leading of the Holy Spirit to talk about finances, because the two are connected. You might recall, if you've been here long enough, that we've never actually done a series around finances. And I actually felt very convicted about that. And the Holy Spirit was on me on behalf of heaven, saying, you got to go there. And so we went there, and God's grace was all over it. And then we began to look at My Heart, My House stories. And we heard some great stories from Rick and Fiona Lee Worthy, the Hicks team, the Grundy team. I also want to say, I said to the Grundys, Margie and Lee, about 3 weeks ago, just that we've never had so many downloads in such a very short space of time when it came to your message. I said, it'll go to number one. It'll go to our number one, our top 10, you know, all-time downloaded sermons. And I'm happy to say today that it has gone to number one. Not that they're like... not that the Grundys would be like, hey, we went to number one, but it's a testimony to what God has done and is doing. And so, but the series is primarily about, you know, each person, every single member, taking personal responsibility for their own hearts and for the house that God, through Jesus Christ, has called each one of us to. You know, the thing I love about the house of God is what it reveals about my own heart. That's what I love about it. You know, and, you know, Ray Coleman, he's sitting on the front row. Like, he is, I would consider him one of my best friends and a great man of God and stuff like that. But isn't it true there are just some people who are a little bit easier to love than others? Do you understand what I'm saying? And but the people that you don't necessarily get along with, you know, the people that kind of rub you up the wrong way or, you know, whatever, they're the people who actually reveal something about you and your heart. You know, Jesus said, if you just love those who love you, there's no reward in that. But if you can love those who spitefully use you, abuse you, and say all kinds of things about you, then you can be like your Father in heaven, and then there is a reward. My heart is my responsibility. It's not your responsibility. It's not my wife's responsibility. It's not my elder's responsibility. It's my heart, and it's my responsibility. It's your heart, and it's your responsibility. But in addition to that, God calls us to be a part of a house. Hey, let's remember, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I appointed and I anointed you to bear fruit, fruit that would remain. And if we're going to produce fruit, then God chooses also the field, the environment for which we are planted in. You can't produce fruit in the natural unless you're planted. It could be a sila moment right now. If you don't know what sila means pause and think about that. And perhaps if we're not producing fruit, could it be that we're not planted? That's just a thought. But as I was preparing my heart to minister in the house this weekend, I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit saying to me to teach the people how to hear God's voice. And this is something that I felt the whisper of the Holy Ghost say around about 3 weeks ago, to teach about how to hear God's voice. And so before I begin today, I'm going to take off my jacket.
Thank you, Peter.
I'm going to take off my jacket because it's getting hot. Okay, before I begin teaching today, I want to begin by reading from Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. And it says, catch this, this is talking about you. The scripture is about you. And those online, it says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were able to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. What a great passage. Who's been to a beach lately? It's winter here, but I know we've had visitors in Bali. Where have you been? The South Coast. Suffering for the Lord. But he made it. Praise God. But I love walking on the beach. Because it's a reminder to me, it's like, look at all this sand. God's thoughts toward me outnumber the grains of the sand. And this passage of scripture, yeah, thank you, I appreciate, yeah, thank you for the feedback. Praise God, it's okay to engage, lean in, say, yeah, I hear what the Spirit of God is saying. But this passage of scripture, it's a testimony to the constant stream of loving and compassionate thoughts that God has toward each one of us. Which, you know, is greater than 1 billion bits of live video data being streamed online per second. That's how much greater it is. This cannot be compared to the magnitude of the genius and the intelligence of our God. But this same God doesn't just have thoughts toward us that outnumber the grains of the sand. This same God also has many things to say to us. He's not just a thinking God, but he's also a speaking God. But we've got to be prepared and ready to hear them, otherwise we're going to miss them. And our Heavenly Father wants you to know that he's not like an earthly dad. Because an earthly father, an earthly dad can be physically present in the house, but emotionally disengaged and absent from the family. And I know that we've all experienced that kind of emotional disengagement. The Father is present, but really, He's emotionally absent. But our Heavenly Father, He wants you to know that He's not only in the house, but that He has the desire to engage with you and I, and that He always has something loving, living, and liberating to say. That's our God. And I want to say something right now to help you. If you come to church and you leave and you don't feel like you've heard from God, that's on you. That is not on the Word of God. That is not on God. That is not on the service. If you're in tune, God will speak to you. That's my point. That is my point. It's on us to prepare ourselves. I believe that our God speaks to us mostly on two levels. He speaks to us, I believe. This is based on my own encounters, experience, etc. He speaks to us on two levels. He speaks to us, number one, generally. In other words, when it comes to the everydays of our lives. And then He also speaks to us specifically. And one of the reasons why people can find it so difficult to get clarity and to hear the specific words of God given for a specific season in life is because they haven't developed the habit of tuning in daily and hearing the general, everyday words of God. But when we ourselves don't have the now word of the Lord alive in our hearts, all we're left with is a soulish opinion. And an opinion never changed a situation or transformed a nation. It's only the Word of God that will bring about change. I'm talking about permanent change. What people don't want to hear from you or I is an opinion. We need the counsel, we need the living Word, the now Word of the Lord alive in our hearts, because then there's something to transfer. And so today, four keys to hearing God's voice. Are you ready? Four keys to hearing God's voice. And keep in mind, this is going to be very, very practical. Point number one, make an appointment with God. Point number one, make an appointment with God. I want to ask you, has it been a while since you've heard from God, encountered God, experienced a daily move of the presence and the power of God? If it has, then I'd like to present to you today that it's because it's been a while since you've made an appointment with God, which reveals a lack of preparation on your part, expectation, and sanctification. Let's turn today to Gateway Word of the Week, which is posted every Monday morning. And we're going to read from Exodus chapter 19, and we're going to begin at verse 11. Are you ready? It says, "And let them be ready." Who is it that needs to be ready? Them. God is saying, "Let them be ready." God says, "I'm ready, but you be ready. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, "Be ready." There it is again. "For the third day, do not come near your wives, men." In other words, someone said, "Oh." Yes, you can't, according to this. What is that speaking of? It's speaking of removing the distractions. Okay, saying no to our own desires so that we make room for the presence and the power of God. Verse 16, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings. There were signs of God coming and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud so that all the people who were in the camp trembled." The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, even though He's so loving and caring. It's, you know, it's like when you come into the presence of God, you can expect God to have something loving, living, and liberating to say. And it says in verse 19, "And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice." He spoke. spoke to them. God said, let them be ready for the third day. What's happening here? An appointment has been made. And the people prepared themselves to meet with God. And as they raised their level of preparation and sanctification, God met with them and he spoke to them. And for those of you who are taking notes, I want you to write this down or at least take a photo of the screen, because God always comes to a prepared atmosphere. God always comes to a prepared atmosphere. I'm telling you, this service can be as crazy and as radical as you want it to be. And I believe that there's been some people today, you've come here with a little bit more radical praise, a little bit more radical commitment, a little bit more freedom, and it's had an effect. But I want to tell you, a service, a life group, a Friday night Gateway Youth Gathering, Gateway Kids Upstairs, whatever it is you're a part of, is as good as you make it to be. It's as good as you make it to be. The leader may not be necessarily on fire, but you can fire up the leader because you're on fire. When was the last time you made an appointment with God and kept it? This is going to sound funny, but you see, if you don't make an appointment with God, you're going to miss it. If you don't make an appointment with God, you're going to miss it. It sounds kind of strange, but what am I saying? Because I know that's an obvious thing to say. If you're not going to keep it, it's not going to happen. But the point that I'm trying to make is this: if you miss the appointment, you'll miss God. If you miss the appointment, and this is where people become disjointed, even disappointed with God, life, even the church, but the responsibility is on who? Not God, it's on us. So how do you make an appointment with God? Well, just think about the last time you made an appointment to catch up with a friend for coffee. Or just think about the last time you had a doctor's appointment. What happens? The two of you agree on a time, and then you agree on a place. And if you're really organized, you'll put it in your phone calendar and it becomes a non-negotiable. Is it not true? Someone else might say, hey, let's catch up for coffee at 1 o'clock. But you look at your diary and you say, sorry, I can't do that. I've already got a 1 o'clock appointment. You don't change it because you're going to offend a friend. If you call that friend and say, sorry, someone else called me, and at the end of the day, it's a better offer. I'm not sure how to put this. There's no other way to put it. It's a better offer. It's at a better cafe, and they're shouting lunch as well. I'm sorry. If you can top that, you and I are in. How are you going to feel if that's you on the other side of that phone call? You're going to say, what the heck? What the he? You're going to say, what the he? I know I've only got half the congregation right there. So, but what about God? Hey, why is it that when we have 10 a.m. Sunday services locked in and someone else calls and say, hey, do you want to catch up for brunch at 10 a.m.? You drop God like a hot potato. Do I need to say any more? Make the house of God a priority. It's locked in. 10 a.m. Sundays, 5 p.m. Sundays in Ginger Life Group. It's like, I'm sorry, I can't meet with you because I'm going to meet with God where I can be in the presence and power of God and hear the word of God. Is there anything more important than that? So I want to encourage you to begin to make a time. Make a time, choose a place to meet with God concerning your heart, concerning your time, your talent, and your treasure, your finances. You may ask, what's the best time to meet with God? I don't know. What works for you? When are you at your best? Well, it's like, I'm not at my best at 5 a.m. in the morning. Well, don't meet with God at 5 a.m. in the morning. When's the best time that you would meet with a friend? Oh, probably, maybe, I don't know, 12, 1, or in the evening. Then meet with God then. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's pretty practical. We've just got to make time. Okay, point number two, be still and be silent. Point number two, how do you hear the voice of God? You got to be still and be silent. We're going to unpack this a little. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Exodus chapter 14 verse 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you this day. In case you don't know, there are three voices that talk to us most of the time. There are three voices that talk to us most of the time. Number one, and this is not in order, but number one, there is the secular. Number two, there is the satanic. And number three, there is the spiritual. The secular includes our own flesh, our own mind, thoughts, lusts, worldly ways and desires, our own agenda. The satanic includes demonic lies, doctrines of demons, half-truths, doubts, suggestions, fears, suspicions, and manipulations. Even manipulations from people. You know, the kinds of people that can make you feel guilty. If you've got someone in your life who makes you feel guilty for you not doing what they want you to do, I would question the quality of that relationship. But then, of course, there's the spiritual, which clearly includes God's word, Holy Spirit leadings, whispers, convictions, and the wisdom that comes from godly corporate counsel and their encouragement. But if we're not spiritually dialed in, we're going to get rather confused very quickly as we attempt to discern God's voice amongst other voices, which is why we need to be still and be silent, and someone here needs to hear. It is okay for you to take time out for you and God to be still and silent. Silence is putting away outer distractions. Outer distractions. For example, turning the phone off and everything else that goes along with a phone. Social media, emails, notifications, text messages, and calls. It's like everywhere you go, it's like people are with you and can contact you anytime. Well, there are times when you can't get me because my phone is off or I'm just not answering because I'm having time either with my wife, my family, or my Jesus. So we've got to remove the outer distractions. Comparatively speaking, being silent is actually the easy part. That's the easy part. If silence is putting away the outer distractions, then being still is the silencing of the soul, or the silencing of the inner voices, the fears, the anxieties, the worries, the doubts, the guilt, the shame, the pain, the anger, replaying the past, or any other inner erratic feeling. To find stillness, one must remove the troubles and concerns of this world and fix their eyes upon the countenance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Which is one of the reasons why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, to shut the door behind you when you go into prayer. He says, when you go and pray, shut the door behind you. And I believe that's symbolic of shutting out the outer voices, the world, even the inner voices, so that it's just you and God. And whatever God says to you in that place, whatever he reveals to you, let that be your focus. And then you'll find clarity for your next step. Point number three, read God's word and write it down. That's a no-brainer. Read God's word and write it down. Take a look at the screen at a little cartoon. For those listening online, it says, there's a little animated man on his knees with the caption, Lord, please talk to me. The next part of that window in the animation is God with a hand through the clouds giving the man a Bible. But what do you and I tend to do? We say, Lord, please talk to me. And he gives us his word. But what we do is what happens next. Then we go back and say, God, please talk to me. It's like your word is not good enough. Well, what is good enough? It's the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, one of my favorite passages in the Bible ever since I got saved. It says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Are you confused today? Something confusing you? Let me tell you what it is. There's a mixture of your soul and your spirit. That's why you're confused. The soul says what I think, what I feel, and then we've got what the Word of God says. But sometimes we're so into our soul, sometimes we're so into what we think, what we feel, we totally miss what God has to say. Secondly, write it down. Write down the Word of God. I want to encourage someone with a thought that perhaps you've never had before, not only am I encouraging you to write down what God is saying, but let me encourage you also to write down your prayers. Write down your prayers for your wayward children, your prayers for the things that you're believing for, that opportunity to minister Jesus to others. Who are you praying for? I trust that you're praying for your neighbor, your work colleagues, your friends, those who do not yet know Jesus. Write it down saying, I am praying for, and put down their name and date it, and then date it later when they get saved. Write it down, write it down, write it down. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 19, David said, all this the Lord made me understand in writing. I want to encourage you to write. It was really interesting. I used to work at Warehouse Sales, which was an electrical store in the Wodonga Plaza, early 90s. I worked there for about 6.5 years. I worked in Wodonga. And if you're familiar with Sumption Gardens, which is like a man-made lake, my time with God, my appointment with God was every lunchtime. Every lunchtime. I could not wait. If I had to go somewhere else other than my appointment with God, I was so disappointed. And so I would go to Sumption Gardens and I would bring this book. And what I would do, I would just still my soul and be silent in the presence of God. And I would open up the book and I would just begin to write down the things that God would say to me. So I have an entry here. It was quite interesting because I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit. I was on my way to church this morning, heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit saying, go back home and grab the book that you used to write down things in. And I found it a little bit inconvenient because I wanted to get to church. But nevertheless, I knew that I'd heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit. So I found, I knew exactly where it was. I picked it up. I opened it up. And I thought I'll take a look at an entry. And funny enough, what's today's date? August 4. Funny enough, I opened up at page 90 in my diary and turned exactly to a entry on August 4. Back in 1996, I'd been a Christian at this stage, probably 7 years, but this is a habit that I had very, very early. And I made this note, and it was it was like what Tim Hicks was sharing so powerfully around today. It says, make a decision, because we serve a God who made a decision. And our God is decisive, wholly committed. That's why he gave up his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you too, be decisive. That was my entry. 23 years ago. So I want to encourage you to write it down. Point number four, hearing God. Hey, by the way, if you're not sure when it comes to reading God's word, if you're not sure what to read, sometimes people don't know what to read. Sometimes people play Russian roulette with the Bible and they'll read there. Let me just encourage you. If you want to get wiser, read Proverbs. Read a proverb a day and get understanding on the proverb. Read the four Gospels, four different accounts from four different people who penned and recorded what Jesus did. Read the Gospels. Get the Gospels into you. Read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Read also Gateway Word of the Week so that, when it comes to what you're observing, how you can make it a reality in your life, then dedicate it to God in prayer. If you don't know all about it, look out for the post tomorrow and learn more. But point number four, this is going to sound so obvious, but hearing God comes from hearing God's word. This is why you've got to get to the house, why you've got to get to life groups. Hearing God comes from hearing God's word. This might seem like a no-brainer, But again, how much time do we actually make for God's word in your life? And of course, we have many opportunities here at Gateway for you to hear God's word. 10 a.m. Saturdays in Lovington, 10 a.m. Sundays in Lovington, 5 p.m. Sundays in Gingera. Men's fortnightly life group here, which is this Wednesday night. Women's groups, life group, Gateway Kids, Gateway Youth, Gateway Young Adults. The list goes on. And we've got the podcasts. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. At the end of the day, we all make time for what we love and what we value. And if you want to know what you love and what you value most, then just take a look at where you spend not just most of your time, but also your finances. They reveal your love and your passion. And I am going to put this out there, at the end of the day, you get to do whatever you want to do. But I do want to ask you if you could consider, you know, beginning to commit something financially to the house of God. The good news is you don't have to do anything. At the end of the day, it's between you and God, okay? But I just want to encourage you. You can take an envelope. It's in the foyer. It's an orange one. We actually need to get some new ones printed out because we're about to run out. But you can take that and take a look on the back. You can give online, things like that. Be blessed. I want to talk to you for the remaining time that I have. It's 11:27. And I just want to remind all of those who are attending the water baptism class to be ready straight after service, because we're going to head into the pastoral lounge. If you don't know where that is, I'm pointing to the top right-hand corner of the building. Go through those doors, bypass the two doors on the right, which are our amenities, the toiletries, and go into the pastoral lounge. We're going to start straight after this service, okay? But I did want to talk, again, I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit saying, talk about the whispers of the Holy Spirit. And I want to give a testimony right now. First of all, I'll headline it. A lot of you would know this testimony, and I have so many, and I plan on just sharing a few more over the next few weeks. But let me give you the headline of one whisper that I heard from the Holy Spirit and where it went, and then I'll give you some details. We were taking a team to the Philippines back in 2013, and the purpose for the trip, first of all, was to, because one of our partners here at Gateway is Compassion International, a fantastic godly organization. We were heading to Davao City in the Philippines, and I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit say, I'll pause for a moment, because we had a couple in our church back then who have since relocated elsewhere geographically, and her father was a pastor in the Philippines. I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit say, make contact with that pastor and ask if he would like to catch up for a coffee in Davao City in the Philippines. That was the whisper that I heard. Just a coffee. Let me just say that being obedient to that one whisper of the Holy Spirit then made way for me to preach live on television throughout the southern part of the Philippines to 3 million people. Now, that I know where my heart is. That's not a boast. This is what God can do with people who are crazy enough to heed a still small voice. Let me read to you what it says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 to 13. Because sometimes we think God is in the big things. Maybe the big platforms. Maybe the whatever. You know what I'm saying. And I'm not saying he's not. And he can be. Sometimes he is. Sometimes he's not. That's just the way it is in every case. But it says in verse 11, then he was told by God, go. Stand on the mountain at attention before God, and God will pass you by. And so a hurricane came, a hurricane wind ripped through the mountains and shattered the rocks before God. But God wasn't to be found in the hurricane. And after the hurricane, after the wind, an earthquake. But God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Well, surely God is in the fire. But God wasn't in the fire. And after that, a gentle, quiet whisper. Where does your expectation lie? Is it just in the big things? You know, God loves to use the little things. You know, in actual fact, God loves to test our love and our service to Him by constantly giving us a whisper. God is in the whisper. That one whisper, give Pastor Danny, make contact with him in the Philippines, see if he wants to do a coffee. And then he came back to me and he said, yes, I'd love to do a coffee. And he said, hey, furthermore, can I invite just another three or four of my pastoral friends? I'm like, wow, now it's a party. Yes, let's do a little round table, have coffee. I'll learn from you. You can learn from me. Let's collaborate. A few days later, he comes back and says, Pastor, can I invite some more friends? Ha! Yeah, sure you can. Why not? A few days later, Pastor, can we do a pastors and leaders conference over 2 days? How do you do that? What do you want to do? Like, what's the go? What's the go? I don't know what the go is. What are we going to do? He said, we believe it's from God. I said, I don't know why, but I believe it is too. And when we got there, I was with Ry Coleman and I was preaching at a businessman's breakfast, and there was a television producer in the actual congregation who began to talk with Ry after the breakfast, and he said, would your pastor be interested in coming out to our television studio this afternoon and preach live on TV? Ry comes up to me and I can tell he's walking towards me, he's laughing, he's going, wait till you hear what I've got to share with you. I said, what's up? I can tell something's up. And so he told me, and away we went. I'm like, so I'm trying to look cool, like this happens all the time, right, to this television producer. So I'm like, so how long before you want to leave, you know, before we go, like this? Pastor, we need to leave in like 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah, that's cool. That works for me. And how long does it take to get to the television studio? Pastor, we need to, it'll take 30 to 45 minutes. And I say, yeah, that's all right. That's okay. He had a little revolver pistol down the seat. He said, if there's any trouble, it's okay. I've got it. I think, what trouble is there going to be? You know, Ry's like, that really makes the story better. And so I said, yeah, that's cool. No worries. And I said, when we get there, I said, I'm just curious. I don't know. I'm like a cat. I'm curious. How long? Well, you know, once we get there, how long before I'm live on television? And how long do you want me to preach for? And how many people am I actually ministering to? So when we get there, Pastor, 10 minutes, and you must preach for 45 minutes, and you'll be preaching to, you know, millions of people. Not a problem. Team, can you please pray? And it was a very powerful time. There were people there who are still here. It was very, very cool. The whisper of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, it's powerful. God tests our heart. You see, if we let go of the little, if you don't steward or look after the little, we'll let go of the big. If you're not faithful in the little, how can God trust us with being faithful in much? I want to prophesy and declare, and this is what God has put in my heart. I want to prophesy and declare. And so there's a passage there when Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a little, now have authority in 10 cities. I want to prophesy and declare that I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me a number of years ago, and I'm going to trace it back and find the date that God said to me many, many years ago, before I'd even been overseas, that He's going to give us authority in at least 10 cities throughout the world, including these cities, including these twin cities. We already have authority here, but there's more to come. I want to give you one more story, because basically I'm going to exit the platform with this class. We're going to go straight in. And it was about maybe a month ago. There's a pastor in Pakistan. His name's Pastor John Javad. And he has crusades of tens of thousands of people, right? Incredible. You can look him up on Facebook, and amazing influence. God is using him powerfully. And it was his birthday on this particular day, and it was late at night. And you know how birthday notifications come up on Facebook? I saw that it was his birthday. I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit, bless him on his birthday. And so I blessed him. And within a couple of minutes, I received a direct Facebook message from him saying, my dear pastor, how are you? It's like, I am well. Happy birthday. Thank you, my pastor. And then he went on to ask me, would I preach to 270 pastors and leaders online, you know, which are a part of his network. Long story short, I said, I would be honored. That would be my great honor. I did that, spoke what I believed was a prophetic word from the Lord from Ezekiel chapter 37 about prophesying to the dryness, prophesying to the dead bones. Keep on speaking out the word of God. Number one, get the word in your heart, then speak out the word of God, because that's what the whole story is about. Ezekiel is just very clearly echoing the whisper of God, the things that God had put in his heart. That's all he does. And as he keeps on being obedient on every level, at the end, an exceedingly great army stand up. Within the space of 5 days, Pastor John Javad called me back and said, Pastor, thank you so much. Our team, our pastors and leaders, they loved it. And I said, thank you. It's an honor to be a part of what God is doing on the planet. He said, Pastor, would you please consider preaching to between 500 and 600 village peoples once a month? Most of them are Muslim, most of them are non-Christian, and believe for salvations, for healings and miracles. He said, the only thing is you will need to preach 1 a.m. Australian time. I said, well, that's a small price to pay, a bit of personal comfort to preach the gospel. I said, I'll do it. I had another pastor. This is all in the space of 5 days. This is Pakistan. All came out of wish him a happy birthday. I don't know. And these two pastors are unrelated. So long story short, I'm preaching live. I would appreciate your prayers. I'm preaching live online, 2:30 Australian time, 9:30 a.m. Pakistani time, into Pastor Sharif Cortez's service today. They have between about 150, 200 people. We're going to be believing for the same kinds of things. And the testimony is this. Don't you think it's amazing what God can do on the other side of a whisper? The whispers of the Holy Spirit. What are you hearing? What are you hearing? Because God is loving. He's in the house. He's not disengaged. He's well engaged. And he has thoughts toward us that outnumber the grains of the sand. And he has a lot of sweet things to say to you and I. You want to take your Christianity, your faith walk, to a whole nother level? Start obeying the whispers of the Holy Spirit. I wish I could drop the mic right there. I'd probably get in trouble if I did, but I'd like to. Let's close now by giving the Lord a mighty hand of thanks. Come on. Thank you, God, for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.